a job.
Too much, did you?
you have filled out these cards and ready to turn them in, I'll taste them from you. Go ahead.
Bigger crowd than I expected tonight, but welcome. We've got a couple things on the agenda, and I know some might have an older agenda, but we have adjusted the agenda, so just be patient a minute. First item on the agenda, and I would like to recognize Mark, our new person. So Mark, wave your hand, say hi to everybody. So it's glad to have some new bodies up here and some fresh insight. Over a year ago, I requested that the county legal reevaluate the charter of the Planning Commission since it was written in 1950. It was a little outdated. So that has been done, and I saw a pre-draft, made some changes on it. I'll just tell the Planning Commission. A couple of the big changes I made is we've had a lot of meetings lately that were Zoom, and in the old laws, when it was rewritten, they wrote it that said, you had to be present. And well, that doesn't work if we're having a Zoom meeting for a pandemic or whatever else is going on. So we changed that. And got some other things in there that just made it work better, and now it looks pretty good. So Planning Commission, does anyone have any input or anything on the new bylaws for the charter? They're written by county legal, so I don't technically have to have a note, but we just want to have an open discussion that we have looked at them and talked to, and that you guys know I requested some changes, and it looks like they were put in. Teresa?
My question is the number of members. It says 5, 7, or 9. Have we made a decision on him?
It's going to stay that way because we had a problem. When I got on here, we had 9, and we always had 2 backups. And then the last 10 years, we went down to 7. And then the last 3 years, we've been having a hard time keeping 5. So they left it purposely ambiguous like that. So we're in compliance either way we go, is my outlook. So, and we did change it because there was discrepancies in the wording of the last charter on the quorum. In one spot, it said a majority. In another spot, it said you must have 4. So they conflicted with each other, so I asked them to, you know, clarify that, and now it says, the charter now says a majority of whoever is on the commission. So if there's 5 appointed members, then we've got to have three here. So simple math, easy, quick. So no other questions on the charter and the bylaws for this commission? Very good. Then we accept them as they are currently, unless you have something else to add.
I just wanted to go over quickly the process for adopting amended bylaws.
Okay.
So once the Planning Commission approves a draft of the bylaws, we'll need to take them to the Board of County Commissioners. Under our admin policy, policy A4, the board has sole authority to adopt amended bylaws, and that would be done by board order. So I would ask that if the commission's ready this evening to take a vote on approving this draft, then we can move that on to the Board of Commissioners.
We can do that. We have a motion to approve the draft as written.
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Gerlitz. And I'll forget your name, but a roll call, please.
Commissioner Cook?
Yes.
Commissioner Mundell?
Yes.
Commissioner Gindelsberger?
Yes.
Commissioner Wright?
Yes.
Commissioner Jones?
Yes.
Motion passes, unanimous. Thank you. Keep us squared away. That was my whole goal, is to get this updated and squared away. All righty, next. Take that off so I can see. This meeting of the Josephine County Board of Commissioners will be conducted according to the Josephine County Land Use Hearing Rules found in Chapter 19.31 of the Josephine County Code and Section 197.763 of the Oregon Revised Statutes, which govern the conduct of all public hearings. A summary of the rule as follows. The planning staff will identify and explain the criteria and standards applicable to this request. Testimony and evidence is to be directed to the criteria and standards. If you feel other criteria or standards apply and are not identified, you must raise this issue to the chair for a ruling. If the chair rules that additional standards apply, then testimony and evidence may be directed to them. Clearly raise and explain your issues in this hearing in order to be understood by the board. Before conclusion of this hearing, any participant may request a continuance to submit new evidence or testimony. The board must decide to either grant the continuance or keep the record open. In either case, the period of time must be at least 7 days. During the time of the open record, anyone may submit additional written testimony or evidence. All persons testifying are considered a witness unless the person asks to be recognized as a party and the chair rules the person has party status. Party status is established in three ways. Anyone who receives official mailed notice and testifies orally or in writing in this hearing. Anyone who testifies orally or in writing in this hearing who did not receive official mailed notice but establishes the use or enjoyment of their property is adversely affected by impacts from this proposed use or development that is different from the public at large. And three, someone who is aggrieved by an adverse decision, the chair will wait until you finish testifying to make a ruling on party status. Participants are obliged to know and follow the rules and procedures. The planning staff present has a copy of the rules for questions. The second item on our agenda is item four, public use land hearing, a request for a mixture. Subdivision to be known as Merlin Heights. This request will create 35 lots for residential development ranging in size from 4 acres to 9.2 acres. Access will be off Merlin Sanitary Road, Acorn Street, and Maupin Lane, either directly or via proposed easements. Does anyone object to the jurisdiction of the board to hear this matter? There being none, does any member of the board wish to abstain? There being none, the Josephine County Rural Land Development Code sets time limits for testimony. And if we're going to have a lot of testimony, I will adhere to the time limits. At the close of the hearing, a decision shall be made in the form of findings with the presiding officer of the hearing's body designating who shall prepare the findings. The criteria for the decision in this hearing shall be presented by the planning staff as part of the staff report. Staff report, please.
Good evening. My name is Tammy Smith with the Josephine County Planning Department. We're here tonight to discuss a proposed subdivision. The proposal was submitted by the property owner, Access Development, and the representative and engineer is Justin Gerlitz with Gerlitz Engineering. The applicant is seeking tentative approval for their request to subdivide a property into 35-lot subdivision for residential development. The lots range from 4 to 9.2 acres. The subdivision will be accessed off of Merlin Sanitarium Road, Maupin Road, and Acorn Street. Exhibit A in your staff report contains the copy of the tentative plan. The background information on this application was that a pre-application was submitted on, or I'm sorry, issued on February 11th, 2022. A full application was submitted on November 8th, 2022, and then it was initially or officially deemed complete on January 26th, 2023. Here's a map of the property location, which is off of, in the Merlin area, which is access off of Merlin Sanitarium Road, which is a county-maintained road. Here's a map of the surrounding areas. The property abuts mostly residential lots, and then a little bit kind of to the northeast is some industrial, and then to the south is Woodlot Resource. Here's an aerial map of the properties in the surrounding area. This is a USGS map, kind of shows the slopes, a little bit of, it's about 30%, if I had to guess, 15% slope, and an even smaller amount of over the 40%. The review procedure for tonight is per these sections. Josephine County Code states that when the Planning Commission shall review and approve or deny the tentative plans for subdivisions using quasi-judicial review procedures as set forth in chapters 19.22 and 19.24. And that's when it creates more than 10 lots, and also there was more than 50% granitic soils, which I left out. These are applicable code sections that are used to reach a decision on this application, which I'll briefly elaborate on. Sorry. We look at whether the property is legal, authorized lots, if the tract or land under one ownership or joint ownership of the application, does it meet the present plans for regarding flood, fire, and erosion, and other development standards? Do the parcels meet the lot size requirements? Also, criteria in regards to infrastructure, utilities, and carrying capacity. Can this land support the proposed development and work cohesively with the development and the environmental conditions? This section allows for parcels containing less than the minimum lot size to be approved, that not more than 20% of the lots, up to a maximum of 5 deficient lots created from a tract. And lots 31, 32, 33, 34, and 35 are subject to this. Section, and the Planning Commission must consider these undersized lots and make a finding as such. Wildfire Safety Committee safety standards, as stated that the applicant materials, the physical terrain was unable to be able to create a looped road or an emergency access, and so we had to go through the Wildfire Safety Committee to come up with a different plan. And the applicant had applied for that tech plan review on January 10th, 2023. The Wildfire Committee reviewed the application and through various emails as well, going back and forth, but they recommended for an approval for modifications to the wildfire safety, and that's attached as Exhibit F. Staff received no comments from the neighbors during the public comment period. Several other agencies did comment, and those are attached as exhibits B through E of your staff report. Note that I did submit a comment from Department of State Lands that was sent over on March 31st, and a comment from Gene Mount on April 3rd, and I did include those and put those up there for you. With all that said, Merlin Heights subdivision, staff would like to recommend to be approved with the proposed conditions in Exhibit G and public works conditions in Exhibit B of your staff report. The Wildfire Safety Committee and planning staff recommend the approval of wildfire safety modification as proposed by the applicant outlined in Exhibit F. And this would need to be added as a condition. Staff also recommends the commission assign the findings and facts to the applicant to prepare. And that's all I have.
Thank you very much. We have an applicant representation here.
Yep.
Mr. Gerlitz, good evening.
Good evening, Commissioners. Justin Gerlitz, Gerlitz Engineering Consultants, here tonight on behalf of the applicant Access Development for the Merlin Heights subdivision. Thanks, Tammy, for your presentation. I'll go through mine as well just to provide a little more detail on some clarification for you. So represented here on the screen with an aerial is the property. Something unique about this property is the road is already built through the center of it. It's not something we see very often and is actually one of the reasons that I think this project is going to be a successful one because it prevents the need for a significant portion of road improvements, which is always something that's impactful to the environment on the property. It does, as Tammy mentioned, include some lot access from Maupin Lane, and then a few lots will take access from Acorn Street, which is obviously already an improved roadway. This is just a kind of a twisted three-dimensional view of the property. You can see there is some terrain, a couple of ridges that run through that project. We are taking that into account with our design, and that's the reason that some of the accesses are set up the way they are. This is a view of what Merlin Sanitarium Road looks like now, basically for the whole length. It's an improved two-lane road to county standards within the fog lines, but it doesn't include shoulders, paved shoulders right now. So that's something that we are going to be improving as part of the project for the full length. It was conditioned from Public Works. So this is kind of towards the beginning of the road as you come into the project. This is looking from Ort Lane onto Maupin Lane. You can see that Maupin Lane right now is partially improved, but we're going to be improving that to a county limited residential road standard. So that's going to provide some improvements for the existing neighbors on that road for sure. And then this is at the end of Merlin Sanitarium Road where it runs into that woodlot resource property. Here we're going to be proposing a cul-de-sac for emergency turnaround for the public. And then beyond that, these driveways will continue on to the neighboring properties. As Tammy mentioned, most of the neighboring properties are residential in nature. You see they're represented by the RR5 zoning, this zoning being similar to the RR5, but within the Merlin community. There are those smaller residential lots to the north, and then that little strip of industrial lands there along Merlin Road. Woodlot Resource being to the south there, and that's why the loop road system wasn't possible, because that property won't be developed the same way as this residential property will. Here is our tentative plan, the drawing portion of it. We spent a lot of time on this. You know, one of the things we've seen in the past is people not paying attention to what happens on site versus just the roadways. So we actually went through and did an initial design for all of the shared driveways, which are represented there kind of coming off of Merlin Sanitarium Road. The squares represent our proposed house pad locations. So we have analyzed all the driveways to make sure they're compliant with county design standards. We are using several shared driveways, using the shared driveway standard that's in place now to have four lots access off of that shared driveway. And again, what that allows us to do is, instead of building these big wide roads on these kind of hillside areas, it allows us to keep those narrower driveways, which are much less impactful to the slopes. Over on Maupin Lane, on the right side there, you can see we are going to be improving it to a cul-de-sac street about halfway into the property. And then from there, we're going to continue on with three of those lots taking access off a shared driveway. And then the existing portion of Maupin Lane, which is essentially a driveway there, a shared driveway, will continue off that cul-de-sac as well. And then up there on the top of the screen on Acorn Street, which, here's my pointer. On the top of the screen right there, you could see that these lots 1, 2, and 3 will be taking access off of Acorn Street through a shared driveway, and Acorn Street being improved already. This is just an aerial with a kind of our drawing overlaid onto it just for reference. You can see this being Merlin Sanitarium Road here, these being the shared driveways here, and then the house pads there kind of represented. This is kind of a 3D mesh review of it. This, as included with the application, was a erosion control fire safety plan. So this represents, again, those driveway locations, house locations, the erosion control measures that we're planning on taking there, primarily these dash lines being silt fencing to prevent erosion when those houses are constructed. And also, you'll notice that on there, you'll see the dashed 50-foot fire safety buffer around those homes to show that we can include all these home sites within the lots and not affect any of the neighboring properties. That's where the trees will be cleared out. And then the contours on there, of course, represent what the ground looks like out there today. As Tammy mentioned, we did go through a wildfire safety review. And the reason for that is Merlin Sanitarium Road not being able to go through and loop into an existing road. We did evaluate all options, but because that's without resource and there's not really a logical way to develop that in the future with a full road system. We went through that review process, which includes the local fire marshals and fire chiefs. So one of the things that, they said, yes, you do have all these roads, these driveways, they're shared, but without that through road system, one of the things that they requested that we complied with was where you see those little blue boxes on there, those are representing driveway turnouts. Typically, driveway turnouts are spaced every 400 feet. What they wanted is to have them every 200 feet, and that just allows, in any kind of emergency situation, more ability for vehicles to jockey around each other. And then the other thing that they requested was where the shared driveways split off of the main shared driveway. So, where this turnaround right here, where this driveway comes off right here, they wanted to make sure that those T intersections were improved a little bit larger than we normally would for fire truck turnarounds as a hammerhead. So essentially, we definitely improved above and beyond the normal fire safety standards for this development to just really allow the best emergency access that we can. And that was all formally approved through that committee. As Tammy mentioned, a few of these lots are undersized below 5 acres. The reason for that is because of the right-of-way dedication that's happened on the lot and that we're doing over here. We're actually dedicating additional right-of-way on Maupin Lane to the south as well. And that all falls within the standard requirements. From a carrying capacity perspective, we drilled a total of 7 wells for the application. To accommodate the water supply needed to cover all of the lots, the applicant is definitely going to install additional wells on these properties. Ideally, I think most of them will have their own well. There might be a couple that share wells depending on the additional wells that are installed depending on the flows. But we went through water quality testing, pump testing, and well total quantity evaluation here to show that this property will have plenty of water available. Also to note, these wells were installed last year in the drought period. We've had a drought for a few years. That's something that we consider when we look at these projects as well. So good results, good water quantities. Also, as part of the initial evaluation, we hired a geotechnical engineer to evaluate the site kind of overall for septic capacity. These soils are something that we're all familiar with. They're normal soils for our area. Geotechnical went out there, evaluated several test pits, and came to the conclusion that most of these sites, if not all of them, will be able to use standard septic systems. Prior to final plat, we will, of course, get additional septic evaluations complete for each lot to kind of accompany the well information as well. Power-wise, right now, infrastructure is already in place on Merlin Sanitarium, which is pretty convenient. We are going to be probably undergrounding most of that power, the overhead lines that are out there because of the road widening that's going to occur. But we have verified with those companies that utilities are available, and storm drainage is generally accommodated through these natural swales that exist out on the property. In closing, we believe that this proposed subdivision will be a real nice addition to this local area, and it fits well within the surrounding development patterns, which are single-family, rural residential in nature for the most part. By utilizing the existing roadway infrastructure and the shared driveways, as mentioned, the impacts to the natural environment out here are going to be limited as compared to a standard 35-lot size subdivision. So we're happy that that's the case. The only one environmental thing that exists on the site that was mentioned by the state is there's an existing pond down there on lot 27, and we have no intentions of impacting that or modifying that. So it's we're staying out of that. As shown on there, you can see the house location on lot 27 is situated farther up on the hill. And with that, we're looking for approval tonight of the Merlin Heights subdivision. I'm happy to take any questions you might have.
Open it up. Anyone have any questions? Mark? You got something?
Yes, actually, I have just a few things here. And excuse me if this has been addressed already with some stuff, but a little new, didn't have a whole lot of time to look over this. But what I did look over brought some concerns to me. So one of the things I noticed was the in Title 19, it talks about preventing negative impacts to groundwater. And, you know, you mentioned the wells and what the current GPMs of those wells are. My concern with that is has there been a study done that if you take the numbers from your 17 wells and divide that, if you do 35 actual wells in there, what it's gonna do to the surrounding existing wells and the properties of those people that have, you know, are they gonna have to drill deeper wells to meet the same standards that your wells are at? Or, you know, is there anything, any type of study that would be done that would show the impact of those additional wells to the surrounding wells?
So the county standards require us in this instance to do pump testing for each of the wells that are up there. And what that shows is you draw a certain amount of water out of the well at a fairly high rate, if you're familiar with that. And it looks at how far the aquifer drops when those tests are being done. And in this case, we had good results from all of the pump tests that were complete. The state has exemptions for wells that are under a certain amount of volume per day, which single-family houses qualify for. So all of the wells will be installed. All the new wells that we haven't already installed will be installed. They will also be pump tested. And those are the things that we look at. Usually, if you're going to see some kind of major effect on the neighboring area, you'll see a drop in those pump tests. You'll see a significant drop in an aquifer if the aquifer isn't producing a high rate of water underneath the surface. So, yeah, that's what we've done so far to comply with them.
And that takes into account the additional wells that would be added more than the seven that you used for the study?
The additional, that accounts for the seven wells that were installed to date to get the planning approval to qualify with the proper volume of water. But additional testing will be completed for the additional wells that are installed.
All right. That was just something I was concerned about.
Just an FYI for you. The requirement is that he has to do seven to show that it has quality and quantity. If they have a well that doesn't produce, they can't build a lot. So it doesn't really affect us. It affects them. So it's to their benefit to make sure that that doesn't happen. But just so you're aware of that, you know, they've met the requirements by having what they have, but if something doesn't produce, it doesn't produce. That's, we don't care.
All right. The other thing, and I checked into this a little bit today, because I didn't see it anywhere in the paperwork here, is the need for a traffic study, and I understand that it's not necessary because there's less than 50 parcels, so it's not. But something that I found out about is it talks about 10 trips a day per lot is what the national average is that they use for that study. And being a previous fireman, my concern is traffic accidents at Merlin and Merlin Sanitarium Road because there is no turn lane. And so the traffic added to that area with no turn lane, and I'm very familiar with the amount of traffic accidents we have these days with people not paying attention. So that is concerning to me about the added traffic right there at that intersection. So has that been addressed at all? I know you've talked about the traffic on Merlin Sanitarium and widening that and everything, but
yeah, I mean, one thing on this project that, so yes, typically if you trigger a certain amount of trips, that's what triggers this traffic study, and essentially anything less than that, unless there's a major issue at an intersection, like a, you know, there's a signalized intersection that's failing currently, they look at it as a minor impact. One of the things that is advantageous about this layout is we're splitting several lots off of Moppet Lane, several lots off of the other street, and then the rest are going to be on Merlin Sanitarium. So when you're looking at a 35-lot development, it's not all 35 cars piled up at that one intersection. We're taking 6 one way and 3 the other way. So we're 26 they're going to be using that intersection. It is an existing established intersection, existing established roadway. So those are the thing, you know, that's already functioning as an intersection right now. Typically, new intersections are more concerning. We start adding more along a section of roadway, so that's where we came to the consensus on that.
Okay, yeah, I was just looking because Acorn and Merlin Sanitarium come together right there at that same intersection.
Yeah, I guess they do. There's no junction up. Correct.
That turn lane thing is just something that concerns me. So, the lack of turn lane. So, anyway, that's the only two things I had. So, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Additional questions?
Anyone else? I'm just going to do a quick clarification because somebody's going to sit there, well, he just doesn't care. No, the application has to address the standards and criteria in the application. The wells are the 7 that are required to meet the application. Anything above that is out of our purview as far as the commission. He's met the standards. So not that I really don't care. It's just it doesn't matter for the application that we're hearing tonight. So I want to make sure you guys understood that I'm just not, don't care what you're saying, so clarified. All righty. Thank you, Mr. Gerlitz.
Hello, I did have a question.
We'll get you in a minute, hold on. Okay, staff report, proponents, you got any other witnesses or anything, Mr. Gerlitz? Okay, do we have any representative opposition? Oh, did you need to?
I can say something.
Okay, go ahead. He's staff, so he gets privilege.
Thank you, Commissioner Wright. Neil Burgess, County Engineer. I did want to bring up a clarification on Tammy's staff report. She has our old comments for Exhibit B, our pre-app comments from 2-1 of 22, and we have some new ones from 3-16-23. And the same comments, it's just some of the conditions have dropped off. So I just want to somehow insert the latest and greatest into Exhibit B. I don't know exactly how to get that accomplished.
Which conditions dropped off?
I wouldn't know exactly because they're renumbered.
Well, that's never any good.
Yeah. So that's a trip up that I wanted to address earlier in the meeting than later. It's something I just realized when I walked in.
Okay, do you have a copy of that, the new one, with you?
Just one. I wasn't prepared to substitute anything new.
Well, if you can give that to me and we can compare with what Teresa has here.
So the first one had 28 conditions, and then this one has 23 conditions. So they're all the same that are in the pre-app. It's just some of them have dropped off.
Okay, so we just got to figure out which ones.
The pre-app and the application list.
Okay. Even if we have to take a break and go over that for a couple minutes, we'll do that so we can get a good clarification.
And then I wanted to address the other commissioner's concern about a traffic analysis. And you mentioned 50 lots. That's not a hard and fast number. It depends on what the development is and what the nearest arterial collector is and how the traffic patterns are going. Public Works did not require one in this instance. The turn lane on Merlin Road, it is one of our higher roads, so that could be a concern. We are coming into town, so the speed limits are dropping. And then, as Merlin Road is one of our higher ADT roads, average daily trip roads, and then this is contributing additional impact, but it is, at this point, we're going to presume that it has carrying capacity. If you have any more questions for me on that, I can address that. Okay, thank you, Commissioner Wright. Sorry for the hiccup.
All right, well, I appreciate you getting it to us before we get to the finals, because we need to be able to give them correct information, so.
It will work with these conditions.
Yeah.
We can still make that.
We're doing a little, we'll tag team and hit this and see if we can report back to the audience and everybody here what we see as different. Okay. We don't have any rebuttal needed for the applicant, no opponents, so others in opposition, we will start with Gene Mount. Hi, Gene, it's been a long time.
Gene Mount, Grants Pass, Oregon. And I wanted first to mention that I am a monitor and somebody that has worked long years in land use and current member of Rogue Advocates Land Use and 1,000 Friends. This seemed, and yes, a large development, so I went back and got further information from planning, and of course they mentioned the Merlin North Valley unincorporated rural community. And I read all those criteria and such. I think that needs to be listed as part of our criteria today because this would not be community residential zoning that is being asked for if it wasn't in there. And there should be the map as well as the actual tax lot that makes it official that this particular 186 acres are included. I'm not saying they aren't. It was just that was not at all clear. And when the limited information I had in communicating with planning. So indeed, I think too, stepping back a little bit, I understand that this has had some RR5 zoning for long years, maybe back to even 73 to 81, however, has not been evaluated. And if it were going only related to RR5, I question and think that the goal for forest resource land would have been looked at and an exemption would have been asked for. If it's underneath, of course, the Merlin MNVC, that would not be, I don't think, required. So that supporting data for the need for this additional 35 lots may not be there. And my other main issue does relate to what has been presented a lot related to the steepness of some of the slopes, some 30, 40%, particularly, I think, south of the road that is there, and the borderline then, of course, woodlot resource. I think that we are pushing it with all these many conditions that will be required related to infrastructure, and I doubt that it can be met. So I think the number of lots, particularly south of the road, should be reduced or perhaps even eliminated. So that needs to be looked at in that regard. There are, I think, currently under Exhibit G, at least 11 conditions. I just heard that there may be additional ones. And I thought those were significant. So the assessment, I think, overall that I have is that this subdivision, I think, exceeds the carrying capacity due to the slopes and the type of soils because it's mentioned very specifically that some of these soils are very poor and very unlikely in some cases to have a sewer system. It's uncertain. And why move ahead with something when we haven't really established even the need for additional acres, five single lot homes at this point? I did wonder also, are all these RR5 lots around that currently developed?
I don't know that answer, but that's not applicable to this application.
Thank you. I would ask for standing in the standing related to the fact that I am currently involved with the Rogue Advocates and 1,000 Friends Land Use Groups, and a strong supporter of livable communities. And I am supporting development, but I want it to be also one where we preserve open space and forest. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. I appreciate your comments, and we have your letter here too, so it's recorded with it, and I made some notes on here still yet. So we will grant you standing. The chair grants that. Stephen Shea, please come to the podium, state your name and address.
Hi, Steve Shea, 266 Culver. We're next door neighbors to this planned development. So let's see, Commissioner Norrie brought up the questions concerning water, and I would agree. I think you're going to run out of available water if you have all 35 of those extra wells drilled, but that's just my opinion. Traffic, I would agree. I expect you're going to see some accidents out on the main road as a result of adding all those people in there. We already got accidents enough, but such as it is. My question was fire control. When I met Mr. West up on top on my ridge 2 years ago, scouting out his property lines, I asked him where he was going to put the houses and what he intended to do with the down and dead that is a significant amount of along that side of the ridge going off to the east side of it. He said he was going to bulldoze it. I just wanted to know. How much you gonna bulldoze? You gonna bulldoze it up to my house? I need to sell it now. If you're not, then we'll figure it out as we go. But we, as a group of the people on the 40 acres on the other side that your lot's back up against, have spent the last 6, now 7 years taking out hundreds of yards of down and dead, and done it selectively. And some of the folks have done it with cutting crews. The rest of us have just cut them down and hauled it out. But we would not want to see bulldozers behind us coming up the hill.
Well, I'll ask him to respond to that, but they can't just bulldoze. They have to have an actual plan and be approved before they can do anything like that. So,
well, I know Mr. West, I assumed he was commenting offhand, if you like.
Possibly.
Well, he said he'd stepped in 5 piles of bear crap between sanitarium and the top of my hill, so he was probably annoyed by then, getting shit off his shoes. But yeah, if you don't bulldoze it, we'd appreciate the hell out of it.
Yeah, and again, we'll ask him, before you leave tonight, make sure you have Mr. Gerlitz's information.
I have Mr. West's information.
Okay. Well, he's doing a lot of it, but he's pretty good. They're easy to work with. I don't know Mr. West because I've never dealt with him on the plan, so. I'm sure, but I know Mr. Gerlitz will work to a mutual benefit.
You have my phone number, email address, all the information on that piece of paper, so I'm easy enough to get a hold of. But you know, I'm not arguing against the development. Just want to make sure that you're not going to run bulldozers up the hill to take out the dead trees. I'd rather you send in cutting crews like the rest of us.
Thank you, Mr. Shea.
Burn it to the ridgeline. We'd all appreciate that too.
I appreciate that. I was going to ask planning if they wanted to address the Gene Mounts Gold 4 question. No need to. Okay. Linda Spangler? Uh-oh. Somebody didn't turn it off.
This is my first time at one of these meetings.
Name and address, please.
Linda Spangler, and I'm here representing the Merlin Park Board.
Your address, please.
My address is 1050 Hugo Road, Merlin, Oregon.
Thank you. It's required for the permission.
Yeah, as I said, bear with me. This is my first attempt at testimony.
Okay.
So there's a number of concerns that I have and that the Merlin Park Board has about this development. Many of them have already been mentioned. Wells, traffic, septic tanks, fire, those are all our concerns at the park. 85% of the property has Holland gravelly loam soil, which is not conducive to a septic tank. So our concern is that property is uphill from the park. So if these septic tanks fail, then we will bear the consequences. So I'm interested in what could be mitigated in that regard. And then the other thing would be all the wells that are going in. Well, how will that impact our well? Right now, we share a well with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I don't know that they got notified. I know we did not get notified. And so we are pretty unprepared to be here tonight as a result of that, because it was just by accident that we even found out about this meeting. And so I do know that goal number one of the Oregon land use is public involvement. And so trying to find these notices is quite a chore if you don't know what you're doing. It takes, you have to visit 7 sites in order to get to the planning applications. So that those are my concerns. Another concern, it's been mentioned that there will be 34 additional cars. Who has one car? I mean, I'm thinking 70, a minimum of 70 additional cars coming down Sanitarium, Acorn, and Maupin into Merlin Glease. And like you were saying about the turn lane, we need that. The park regularly has people running into it for various reasons. So that's a concern. Finally, I would say that in the report, nowhere is mentioned that downhill from this subdivision is a church, a park, a school. And those apparently, were overlooked. So I'm concerned that all the information has not become available. And I don't know if I can listen to the rest of the testimony and then call for continuation, or if I need to do that now.
You can do it later.
Okay, good.
So,
thank you.
For anyone in the audience, since she's new, we'll just give you a quick lesson. We have an application that comes to the Planning Commission. It doesn't matter to us who brings it, where it comes from. It doesn't matter what they're doing. We base everything we do on the application that is in front of us. So that is all we look at. For people like you that have concerns and questions, absolutely come up and ask them. I will restrict anyone who goes sideways and starts talking about all this crap over there, because that has nothing to do with the application. We are specifically and only here to deal with the application put before us. So you did pretty good. It's precise. You had questions. We'll let them, but I'm going to going to give two things right here, and then we'll ask Mr. Gerlitz to come up and give a quick response. Both, oh, you didn't turn it into me, so I can't bring it up to me, please. So you have the two biggest things have always been before the Planning Commission has always been water and septic. Now, septic's all controlled by DEQ. We don't have any specific control over that. They have to do the tests and get approval and everything. If they don't get approval on a site, they don't get to build it. Again, it doesn't affect us as a commission. That's the problem of the developer not being able to achieve their job. Doesn't matter to me. So again, it's not that I don't care. That's what the application is, whether it's, but after the application, they do the test holes and they have, like the wells, they have 7 minimum requirement. They have septics, they have so many minimum requirement. If they all meet the requirements, then the application is deemed good and we move forward with it. And that's when it comes to us. But again, it goes back to, if it affects something else and they can't get a well or they can't put the septic in, they don't get to build it. So just, I want you all just to be aware and understand that, that the process, and that's what happens. Again, back to water, they have wells and they have met the requirements for the well, so they've met the standards for the application that are set down in law to us. If there's a couple different things, I can't deny them because somebody complains that they may lose water. It's not in the rules. If you have evidence that there's something and it's draining your well, that's a whole different ballpark. Then we have some validity and we can go after. Or if you have a water right and your well drops after they build, you also have remedial you can do, and you can actually go through the sheriff. You know, start with your planning, but you know, the sheriff, if it's so bad, they can shut the other well off because it affected your well. But that goes back to a water right. Again, none of that affects us here on the commission because that's all out of our hands. I'm just making you aware of some things so you have some knowledge. So septics, we did, it's been a long time ago, I don't remember now, 15 years ago. We actually had DEQ come in and we had the Water Commission come in and we did a multi-planning commission, Board of County Commissioners, and sat down and had a big hubbub of this is what you need, this is what's required for water and septics. And we had them all on video, but somewhere the videos got lost. So septics can pretty much go anywhere. Now, what type of system they use, that is dependent on the soil, which comes back to your question. And again, that's a DEQ issue. It's not going to affect us on the commission here at all. So if they need a sand filter, if they can run a regular septic, or if they've got to have a shared or get a big pumping station, that's all up to DEQ and whatever the requirements are from the test holes that they're dug. So every single 35 lot will have, if they're going to have a septic, every single one of them will have a DEQ test and be certified. So you know that. It's general information. Answer some questions for you?
Yeah, I
appreciate your. Thank you. Mr. Gerlitz, you want to just chime in real quick on her comment or question? Yeah, that doesn't affect the application right now, so we'll leave it at that. And there is a sheriff substation in Merlin.
Well, I think the audience and neighbors for presenting concerns and questions, that's what we're here for. That's why it's a public hearing, and I always like to try to address the ones that I can just to help maybe put somebody at ease. I think I've covered we talked about the traffic already, so I won't spend too much time on that. But one of the comments from Gene was slope steepness and the doubt that we can build lots up there on those soils. We have spent a significant amount of time engineering. The county process in Josephine County requires a much higher level of design than other agencies that I work within. So we have actually looked at driveway grades, alignment. We have survey data that's accurate. And especially with the way we're doing this with the shared driveway systems versus a bunch of new roads coming off of Merlin Sanitarium, we're confident from an engineering perspective that we can accommodate those driveways and those house pads on this property without significant issue of erosion and things down below. Another question that Gene had mentioned was the number of conditions, and you know, something, again, different things in different jurisdictions. The number of conditions I think that we have on the staff report here and from Joseph County Public Works are fairly standard for what we look at. There wasn't really anything on there that we don't see on other applications. So I think some jurisdictions I've seen have far less conditions, others have more. So I don't think that there's anything in those conditions that we cannot accommodate as part of this project. Let's see here, Spangler had mentioned the soils and concerns about the park below and other things below and septic systems. Commissioner Wright, I think you kind of covered that, but I'll just, you know, yes, every single septic system will have to be tested, which requires test holes that to be inspected. They look at all the soil types below, they look at groundwater levels, and DEQ will only approve systems that they feel that will work into the long term at each specific location. Our geotechnical engineer and the report that we had him come out and do and evaluate with some of those test pits that we had opened up feels that for the most part these should be standard systems. If in fact DEQ does not approve it as a standard systems, there's other systems that you can use, such as a sand filter, or these days they call them alternative treatment systems, ATT systems, which do a higher level of filtration if needed, and that's usually due to groundwater or some kind of soil issue below. For the most part, our goal is to do standard systems so they function well. And then finally, just another, some more comments about water. Water is the same way. The State Water Resources Department is responsible for the well construction and well installation. We've done all the testing, all the water quality testing, all the pump testing to date with the wells that are installed. The additional wells that will be installed per state regulations and designed and constructed per state standards. If, in fact, we find that we have well issues, water issues, or septic issues, in essence, those houses won't be built on those lots. And at this time, we see no reason that that's not going to be able to be accomplished as part of the project. So with that, I hope that helps answer a few questions in the audience, and also, Commission, if you have any additional questions for me. All right, thank you.
Not at the moment. I'll come back to you, though. I got one. Susan Sandberg, name and address at the podium, please.
Susan Sandberg, 211 West Street, Merlin. And is that better? I am still concerned about the traffic issue. It's not just access from Sanitarium to Merlin Galise Road. We also have Josephine. We're on the corner of Josephine. We have the post office across the street. We have the rafting company. And during the summertime, trying to get across is very hectic and dangerous. And with additional traffic, because what'll happen, that's what people do now, is if it's not easy to get across off of Sanitarium, they're gonna come, they go to Josephine. So that just adds additional and danger, in my opinion, of trying to get across or even trying to make a right-hand turn. My other question is, it was stated that you're gonna be having access off of Acorn. But I don't think I heard where off of Acorn you're going to be having access. If it is going to be from West Street, it is a one-lane road that is used by 5 homes. And in the case of an emergency, everybody's going to be eager to want to get down that road. So I'm hoping, number one, that that's not your access. And number two, if you are, will you be making the road wider so we can get more people out in case of an emergency?
Thank you. Okay, we'll ask them to address that in a little bit. Thank you, Susan. I'm assuming it's Jen? Jen or Jan?
Jan.
Okay, Jan. A little tough to read there, but please. Name and address at the podium.
Jan Slesser. I'm going to go with 100 Acorn, which is the Merlin Park. I actually live at 4020 Galise Road. I am the president of the Merlin Park, and I am very concerned with traffic. During the summer especially, we have a lot of programs going on up at the park. And a lot of people that use Acorn Street, they just drive like it's a freeway. So what is the other added homes and traffic going to do to that road? We have a lot of kids that live on that road. We have a baseball field that we are redoing, and we will be reusing that. Little Leagues. Unfortunately, Little Leagues have to use the city or county parks, and we all know the homeless problem with that, and the drug addicts. I have a zone or drug zone free condition in the park. So if anyone's caught doing drugs in that park, they're permanently kicked out. I want a safe place for kids. We've got the school right there. And yes, it's an alternative school, but they have increased their attendance so much that they had to put a double-wide mobile home in on the property for more classrooms for these kids. So those kids are out walking along the street at least once a day for their form of exercise. So I know I hate to keep harping on this, I am really concerned about safety on Acorn. And when you come down off Acorn to where it meets Sanitarium Road and you try to get out onto Merlin Galise Road, sometimes you're going to be stuck there for 2 to 3 minutes because the traffic is so ridiculous. We definitely are going to have a turn lane for people as soon as they come across the railroad tracks. You know, they're trying to get up Acorn and you've got traffic like crazy coming down Merlin Road. It's same thing you've got, as Susan brought out, you have the post office on Josephine Street. Whether you live in Merlin or not, most people use the post office. And the traffic going in and out of the post office gets to be quite interesting sometimes. Another thing that was brought up is many people were not notified. People on Acorn, people up Josephine, down Merlin Galise Road, were not notified about this meeting. I happened to find out about it, and I postponed my board meeting, which is supposed to be tonight, to next week so that we could be here. And in my, briefly in the courier, I put, we are attending this meeting. And I've had several phone calls going, I have no idea there was a hearing. So this is one reason why we're asking you to hold off on making a decision, because we do not feel that people were adequately notified. That's all I have.
Thank you, Jan. Planning, would you address the notification, please?
James Black, Community Deputy Director of Community Development. I'm reviewing the noticing that we did for this project, and we followed the rules about our noticing per code, and that is we noticed everybody within 250 feet of the subject property. That's what our code requires. So that is the initial notice that we did, and that's a mailed notice, so those individuals get notice in their mailbox. Beyond that, we did place notice on our website, not required, but that's where they all go. And as far as I know, my review of the file indicates we followed the noticing requirements for this project.
Thank you. We'll get together and have a discussion on that, but I know the county commissioners have been playing games with the notices. We don't have any control because they run roughshod over us. All we can do is make some complaints and try and encourage it to be better. And I'll do so. I got no problem with that. So if the notice requirements are met, then that eliminates me from having an issue with that for the moment. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak that has not done so?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot to bring this up.
TCU shirt, I was just there. That's all right. You've seen everybody else. Name and address at the podium.
My name's Jeff Stevens, 171 Acorn Street, Maryland. Most of the things I've been concerned about have been brought up already, but where's the access going to be off of Acorn Street? I live right close to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Like, where's the access going to be for the three lot?
Well,
okay. And that was really my only. Everything else has been covered by everybody. So
I appreciate that. We don't need to hash everything over multiple times. It just keeps everybody here longer. So, and again, we address the criteria and the standards. So, one more, then I'll ask Mr. Gerlitz to address that, and then we will move forward. Thank you. Rachel?
Rachel, I'm on Maupin Lane. This
address,
be,
please.
Oh, 125 Maupin Lane. It might be painfully obvious, but I wasn't sure, so I want to just clarify. Homes will be officially built, or is it improved lots that are then being sold?
That's your only question? Thank you. Mr. Gerlitz, I believe you're up.
Is there a way to pull up the PowerPoint that we had on there originally? Right, I don't have my pointer here, but so some of the concerns, the initial concerns I heard were off of Acorn Street being at the top of the drawing up there. It's essentially where Acorn Street makes the bend. That is where that driveway will be taking access for reference. And that portion of Acorn Street is improved. So it's not necessarily coming off of the unimproved street that is beyond that area over there that was mentioned. I think we... do you have a pointer? I'll point to both sides for everybody. So right there, Acorn Street on this side over here. So Acorn Street coming off of Merlin, and then it takes the turn right there. This is right at the turn. And it comes straight in off the turn. And then the remainder of this shared driveway here is going to be on the project's property, so it won't actually be part of the adjacent roadway. Let me see if I can pull up an aerial here. So I know it's hard to hear with it. Commission looking one way and everybody else looking the other way. So again, this is, you've got the church building right there. This is essentially right behind it on Acorn Street.
So is that old logging road?
The portion of it right here is improved, I believe, this portion right here. And then it turns. And then this road, old piece comes down this way. But this won't be running down that. It's simply just going to cross. Just a driveway.
Like a gravel driveway?
Correct.
Okay.
Just an improved driveway.
I remember there's only three houses coming off Acorn.
And it is just three houses, correct.
So it's not going to have the traffic that the other ones will have. So.
And everything else will be off of the additional roads.
Thank you.
And then the other question by Rachel had mentioned, are these going to be improved lots? Are they going to have homes on them? process-wise, we go through the subdivision first. That'll be improving the infrastructure, which is the roadways, the drainage, utilities. And then the ultimate goal will be those lots will be built out with homes. And again, Maupin Street will be significantly improved over its current conditions, you know, with the final design here. There'll be a paved two-lane road up to the middle with a cul-de-sac to turn around in, with driveways continuing off of that.
Thank you.
And, I guess I'll ask if there's any...
Let engineering have a reply here real quick.
Yeah, I just had clarification on the exhibit, if you want to go over that now, or if you want...
Okay.
So exhibit B, if you turn to it, I have the conditions that dropped out. So if you just want to go to that exhibit, I could tell you what numbers fell out.
Perfect.
So number one is eliminated. You guys ready? Number nine was eliminated. Number 20 was eliminated. Number 23 was eliminated, and number 24 was eliminated. And the rest were just renumbered. There was some slight wording that changed. For example, we said we might have added clarification prior to construction or prior to final plat before the condition, but the conditions are the same as in the pre-app. So there isn't any new information, just less information with this new letter.
Okay, so we've eliminated five conditions. It is not uncommon. I don't think I've seen an application that's had less than 18 ever. So most of them are, in my book, kind of stupid stuff that should be on the plat and not on the conditions for the, like, you got to have the street name and the sign and you got to have siding and all that stuff's in the engineering side, but they put it in the application for whatever reason. We just accept it and moved on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, last call if anyone else wishes to speak. Come back up to the podium. I'll let you have one more. Oh, well. In the back room. If you have a question, come up. I'll give you one question.
Sorry about that. It just came up.
Name?
My name's Linda Spangler, Merlin, Oregon. You want my address?
I already got it, so.
Okay. Who's going to pay for the road improvement?
The developer.
Okay, that's all I needed to know.
Yeah, taxes aren't going to pay for it.
Okay.
Okay, we'll give this guy just a minute since he's slow to act there. Uh-oh. That's a second one. All right, name and address at the podium. That's Scott.
Scott Holland, 640 Maryland Sanitarium. So is there a way that you can bring up your lots that are being staged? All that water coming up on that 40% grade. So 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. How are you diverting all that water?
They have an engineering plan, and that's what his job is as an engineer, to design that.
Okay, because it's a swamp back there. So that's a lot of water to remove.
Yeah, that has to, before they can build and do anything, they have to address that. So that's part of the erosion control plan. And that's built into the application, and they can't start digging dirt and doing anything until they submit that. So, and if something happens while they're doing construction stuff, just give them a call up, talk to them. I'm a big believer in just having a conversation. Don't scream and yell and bitch. Just get together, have a conversation, then, you know, move forward from there. So I always tell everybody, talk to them first. Then talk to them, talk to planning, but have a conversation. All right, that's it. We have a request for a continuation, but I don't really see any. The really continuation was the notice answer. James?
Yeah, according to our record, you have two requests for a continuance by the same organization, I believe, Merlin Parks, I believe. And so what do we do here? The request is on the table. Our land use code says the hearing body shall grant the continuance. So I know it's tough. If you want to try to get around, you would want to talk to those folks and see if this continuance is something they want to do. That otherwise, we will be placed in a continuance.
Yeah, and that's not my question. I don't know that we really answered Gene Mount's question about the Merlin North Valley included in.
I read those comments. I don't know if there was a question in there or just a statement.
Okay.
So that I'll leave it up to you. If you guys have a question regarding that stuff, I'll answer it for you the best I can.
Okay, thank you. I know it was Gene. Gene and Jan. So, Jan Slusser?
Yes.
I didn't write that down. Who's the second person that requested a continuance? So, You got to talk from the podium. I know it's annoying, but
I figured everybody could hear me.
Probably, but it's proper.
Okay.
So my question, you and Gene have asked for a continuance. I need a specific reason for that continuance. I need one from you and one from Gene.
Okay.
That's what I'm asking from you.
From me is because of lack of notice to the people in Merlin that this is going to affect. Everyone off of Acorn Street, all of the businesses in Merlin, it is going to affect everyone. The traffic especially is going to affect everyone. It's going to affect their businesses. I don't know yet about the water and sewage because, you know, y'all are saying that you've had it tested and all this. I just had to have a new well put in or a new pump put in for the Merlin Park and for the shared well with Seventh-day Adventists because our water tables dropped so low last year that our pump was sucking up granite into it and it ate the pump. So, you know, we're not just being hysterical people, they are real concerns.
No, I'm just asking for specific. So, lack of notice?
Lack of notice.
Thank
Anything
you.
Else?
Nope.
Okay.
Gene, same to you?
Gene had to go.
Yeah, that's fine. I just need to know what the... So...
Specifically,
name
Linda Spangler. Specifically, the school, the church, and the park were excluded from any consideration in the report, and there may not be any consideration. I don't know.
They're not required. If they're required in the notice, then they're required to be noticed. But other than that, they're not part of the application.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter. If it doesn't address a criteria in the application, we don't like that they're not noticed.
Yeah.
That's not our responsibility, but if it doesn't require it in the application, then it's a moot point.
Okay.
It's all right. Ask your questions. I'm not afraid to take them. Thank you. Okay. We're going to have to do to a date specific. What is our time frame for next week? The TSP.
The TSP, yeah.
Yeah. ODOT TSP. So we have a meeting next week. I'm looking to see if we think we're going to have enough time to tag on to that meeting, because to hold a continuation, we have to do it date and time specific. We don't just say, oh, it's going to be sometime next month. You're going to know right now when it's going to be.
Okay, so a continuance is on the question. A typical continuance, the way we typically do them, is called the 777 rule. And basically what it is that from today to April 10th, you'll leave the record open for all comments and anyone who has not submitted comments into the record.
We didn't have a request for a record open. Yeah.
So then after that, then the next 7 days is for the applicant's response to all those comments that come in, which will be end on the 17th. And then the next hearing will occur on April 24th, which is 7 days thereafter.
Okay, everybody take a moment, check your calendars.
So April 24th would be the next hearing date.
Anyone on the commission have a conflict? Nope. So April 24th at 6 p.m.
Correct.
We will continue this.
And to clarify, I'll read it one more time. From today, April 3rd through April 10th, the record will remain open for any and all comments from any person. Those comments shall be submitted to the planning department. And Tammy Smith would be the contact person for that.
The continuation.
Then the record will close on the 17th. The official record closes on the 17th.
Continuation request is for lack of notice.
Yeah. And then the applicant's response will have between April 10th and April 17th. The applicant will be able to submit responses to all and any comments that come in. And then on the 24th, we'll reconvene and continue with the hearing. We'll probably allow, typically we come back to the hearing under summation of the record, then you'll deliberate, and then we'll move into a decision at that point.
Correct. Mm-hmm. You have a question?
Yes, I do. Is there going to be a secondary notification put out at the beginning of this cycle?
No,
okay, so
not.
That was the problem, was that there was, although you fulfilled the requirements of the code,
yes.
The young lady back there said that people were not notified. So how is this going to fix that problem if there's no secondary notification sent out?
There's no room for another notification here in this procedure. Basically, it's going to be word of mouth. These people need to let the folks know out there in the community that the record is left open for the next 7 days to submit any and all those comments that didn't come in that needed to speak or review the application. So,
thank you.
This happens sometimes.
Any other questions, Justin?
So, James, they said that people weren't notified. Do we know, in fact, that, like, the church didn't get a notice? Was it on the notice list?
We do have a notice list, yes.
And it's 250 feet?
250 feet from the subject property.
From the property line.
Yes, everyone on that list.
Church should be on that list.
I would.
Yeah, the church, was the church on the list? Yes, so the church did get notified.
It's to property owners based on the assessor's record.
Correct. It's mailed to the owner of record in the assessor records. Correct.
Was the park on the list?
You have to check with planning afterwards. So I'm not going to interrupt from the seats, please.
Okay.
Anything else?
That's all I have.
Okay. Then we will table this discussion until April 24th at 6 p.m., time and date specific. And again, the continuation request was for lack of notice, so if you have people you wish to know, let them spread the word. All righty, next on the matters for the Planning Commission. Do we have any matters? Anyone have anything other than welcoming the new guy?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Teresa?
The Oregon Ethics Committee.
Correct.
All of us planning commissioners, you have to file by the 15th. If you need the website, I have it. And please don't not file. We lost a planning commissioner because they got filed $250 for not filing for the state of Oregon. So please do your ethics to the state. And if you need the address, just let me know.
Okay, director's report.
Are we going to go over the dropped stuff and adopt it, or is that something that's just administerial? You know, the items that were dropped in the conditions.
No, we don't need to do that. Okay. And we haven't had the discussion yet, so all that's going to come back at the next on April 24th. So that's ahead of the curve at this point, and hopefully by April 24th we'll have a new set and we can actually look at them properly. That would be good. Director's report.
The only thing I have tonight is to just a quick reminder. Next Monday night, we're back here again to go over
TSP.
Another application from ODOT to go over the U.S. Highway 199 corridor plan. The Planning Commission will be the hearing body and the decision maker on that plan. They are hoping to get the plan incorporated into our comprehensive plan. So that will be next Monday evening. So that's all I have.
All righty. Meeting adjourned.
We just adopt the TSP. Now we have to adopt the new guidelines from ODOT. So this is a whole different. Yeah. Because the last one we did was downtown. This is just.